let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Author Paul Dalzell is known for his solid prose, clear and entertaining dialogue, great storylines, unique plots, extraordinary characters, classic narration, and he's done it again. His latest novel, the fast-moving adventure, He Might Be Still on Mars, we journey to the 26th century and meet Owen Bone, a reserve colonel in the Earth Space Marines, who now works as a galactic bounty hunter with his synthetic partner, Sandy Shaw. Their new employer, a powerful politician and scientist, also a Chinese government official. Paul is originally from England. He's worked as a fisheries scientist in the Pacific Islands and Southeast Asia, now retired, living in Hawaii with his wife, Nellie, who is from Papua New Guinea. The author of The Last Dream Before You Die, Everything Hurts, The Friends of Eddie Relish, Pax Britannica, The Golden Anvil, we talked about that on This Week in America, and now He Might Be Still on Mars. We welcome back Paul Dalzell from Hawaii on This Week in America. Paul, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you back with us.
Well, it's great to be back, Rick. I really enjoyed our last session, and, you know, really looking forward to this one.
Well, I am as well.
I won't be falsely modest about my books. I think this is probably my best one.
From everything that I've read, I think that's the case. You really knocked it out of the park with this. And let's talk about this. You've published 5 books now: Vampires, Show Business, Spies, Secret Agents, Atomic Bombs. What inspired this book, set in the future, with much of the action on Mars? Where did this idea come from?
Sometimes it's just hard to say exactly where an idea might come from, but first was a little bit of inspiration, and I have to give is a shout out to the program The Expanse, which is on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
But like a lot of these things that I do, I sort of thought, well, I want to write a sort of science fiction kind of story, I think of it as a thriller. 600 years in the future, rather than, you know, cut-and-dried sci-fi. But what I do is I have no sort of techniques for starting a book. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, they put names on cards, they have, you know, they've got, they go to sort of these, you can buy a thesaurus about urban writing out in the country. And I just down and just let it go.
Just let it rip.
Yeah. I'm a real seat of the pants guy. I do not plan really to do anything in the book. I like to let the book take me and give me inspiration about where it's going to go in the end, you know?
Well, I like that. So often you hear about writers that are somewhat rigid in how they go about it. It's all basically written even before they start with an outline. They go back and fill in the blanks, and I love it that you sort of see where the characters take you during the course of writing. Paul Dalzell is back with us on the program. That's Dalzell. The book is He Might Be Still on Mars. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In this book, you had to do a lot of research. It covers orbital tethers, space flight, colonization of Mars, other parts of the solar system, plus synthetic androids and cyborgs. Talk about the research, because it's not just one or two areas. It's a number of areas that you had to become somewhat knowledgeable about.
Yeah, well, again, Google, the Google Earth program has a Google Mars facility, so I spent an awful lot of time looking at the surface of Mars and thinking about where I would put stuff. And we'll come later to Korolev City, but in the process of my sort of looking at stuff on Mars, I came across this crater which has the largest deposit of fossil water so far discovered in the solar system. So I thought, it's a good place to build a city. And then orbital tethers, they're a fascinating concept. You know, you basically have a long, thin relatively thin, tether, I guess. You know, you have a fixed station, drops down its cables, and it just stays out there, and it's fixed to the earth, and stuff can go up and down it. So you're not so bound by the... that you don't have to have spaceships being very, you know, small and compact. Put these big orbital tethers in, and they have the garages or hangars. And then on the androids and cyborgs, those are just really much mainly my imaginations, you know, thinking, well, what would a synthetic android be like? Well, the point in the book, too, I talk about locked androids. And these are like locked phones. You know, you get an android, it's locked to you. It won't go off with somebody else. But if you give them emotions, then they get skittish. And so most people really want to keep their androids locked, but totally emotionless. And then the cyborgs, yeah, that was a good one. I enjoyed. I made all that up about how they select them. People go to Beijing. They gradually introduce more machinery into the human body, and it's all nanites, by the way. I mean, we already have the tech of nanotech, you know, nanobots. They're in the early stages, but we have them. And you know, the scene in there, which is I think quite interesting, is they remove the skull cap, keep it frozen, and then start wiring in neural gel packs, which will massively increase the intelligence. And I think that's it, really. Just
it's so amazing.
Probably also things like response times. Oh, and of course,
yes,
the ability to interlink with androids and computers.
It's just so fascinating, and you draw it all together in such an entertaining way in Paul's book, He Might Be Still on Mars. You got the future settings, you got the marvels of high tech. It's still quite a dystopian future. You deal with issues we deal with now, classism, racism, repression, political injustices. Do you believe this will happen as it does in the book? Will it play out like this when we're looking at 500-600 years down the line?
Well, it's already playing out. Look at the Uyghurs in China. China had no problems imprisoning, you know, probably a million Uyghurs, non-Han Chinese ethnic population in the western part of the country. I mean, just that operation alone is comparable to what I talk about in the books, where everybody's so sick and tired of Islamist terrorism in Europe that they just decide to lock the buggers away. Either the good ones can forswear Islam, become Christians, or else it's or you can return to your home country. But some of these guys, they're like 10th generation. You know, they've never grown up in Pakistan or Indonesia or wherever else they come from. So they're just Soviet Union. China just asked the Soviet Union. I beg your pardon. China built these huge facilities in Arctic Siberia, and that's where the unrulier elements of the Islamist community are sent. And it's also, it's happening in smaller scale, like Israel. Israel is putting a wall that physically separates it from the Palestinian lands. You know, so, I mean, we already have the kind of mindsets that I think are going to develop even more acutely in the future. What was the other one? Well, you know, the big wall across Mexico. I mean, that's
yes.
You know, that's another. that's another intimation of where things might go in the future, though I think I temper that in the book by saying it's kind of not really needed in the future, because people began to realize just what a jewel box Central America is. There's less poverty driven migration than you get in at present.
Paul Dalzell is back with us on the program, coming to us from Hawaii. His last name is spelled Dalzell. The book is He Might Be Still on Mars, available at Amazon, the usual places. While there, check out this book. Check out all the others written by Paul as well. Interesting, talking about China, you paint China as a much more dominant power than even now. How do you, and you pose the question, is China going to rule the world as you're reading He Might Be Still on Mars? Talk about that and where you see the role of China going in the world.
Well, China, I mean, let's take a step back to the 16th century. China was a powerhouse that produced 2/3 of the world's gross domestic product. And then, for various unfortunate reasons, the government, you know, what happened was Chinese government was very outgoing. It sent these three huge voyages by the Admiral Zhi He to go out, and there's always, you know, some legend that he might have got to the USA, but they went out on these enormous sailing ships. But then you got a dynasty in China which preferred to turn inwards and contemplate the marvels of the Chinese civilization rather than thinking, you know, oh, I want to see a giraffe. Oh, send a boat, go and get a giraffe. And so with introspection, probably had breakdowns in government. I mean, Britain seizing Hong Kong, wanting tea, paying for that tea basically with opium. Quite a devil's bargain, that one, I think, you know. Whoa, we're suffering because we haven't any opium. Well, we've done tons. Well, we'll give you some tea. Yeah, sure, all right, yeah, I'll work. You know, look at the economic situation of China now. It basically holds all US money. It's coming right now. There's a spacecraft coming back with rocks from the moon for the first time in 50 years or 60 years. I mean, there's a million. Another statistic I checked, there's between 1 and 1.5 million people already, Chinese people already in Africa, you know, doing technical work for the African countries. And so, you know, I think that the situations that we see now are those that will, you know, eventuate. We've only got to look at the Africa. We've got a failed state in Somalia. I think there was one more I had on my lips, but... Oh, well, Venezuela.
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, it's actually made it, you know, this would be a joke if the communists ran the Sahara Desert, there'd be a shortage of sand. It's true of the Venezuela. The communists there, or socialists, if you want to call them there.
Yes.
Basically just idiots. Robber barons would probably be a better title. I've actually engineered a shortage of gasoline in a country which sort of basically floats on top of one of the world's biggest oil discoveries.
It's sort of amazing what they've done or not done down there. Paul Dalzell is our guest on the program, talking about his new book, He Might Be Still on Mars. I know that you've got such a vivid imagination. You're a great storyteller. What's in the hopper for future stories? Are you working on other books, on other story ideas?
Yeah, I have a book halfway in production called wedding presents from Pyongyang. And it basically starts out with a events started happening in England. The murder of two North Koreans who were refugees, and the signature of the way these guys were killed is of a North Korean kind of espionage. She's just got a mission. Yeah, she runs an espionage unit, and she's legendary for her cruelty in torturing people. And so, you know, first they converge on my hero's apartment, where he has a recovering Russo-Chinese spy and assassin who meet just under extraordinary circumstances out in Thailand. And so, you know, they have various adventures together, and then the big one is to this woman will not stop coming after her, so they decide to go to the Golden Triangle in Southeast Asia with friends from the old Kuomintang armies and see if they can get her off her back permanently. And she's so horrible, she's even feared by the North Korean government. And hence the name of the title, Wedding Presents from Pyongyang. You know, even the North Koreans are happy, and so present, you know, I'll have it, you know, that these two are going to get married. So it's quite involved. I got a lot of stuff about in there about there's lots of little places in the Golden Triangle which are the remnants of the Kuomintang army and local people. And, you know, but the education, you know, the facilities aren't great, so all the kids get sent overseas to Australia or New Zealand, and then they all come back on a particular date, and my hero, Duff, has to get all the kids all the way upriver. It's like sort of almost like what was that one? Not Apocalypse Now, but there was a Joseph Conrad novel based on this. And anyway, he gets them all home, and everyone's happy. And that's just a little conversation I have with a policeman. Most of it is set. We started in England and moved to Las Vegas. And I don't know whether you know this about Las Vegas, but it has an enormous subterranean world under the
Did not know that. No,
I can't remember if it's 200 miles or 400 miles, but there's a guy called Chris O'Brien who's written a book called Beneath the Neon, and it's kind of like a journal of each of the tunnels that he goes out to look through.
Now, that, you know, would be fascinating.
It rains, you know, it hardly rains in Las Vegas, but when it does, you get enormous flooding. And these tunnels, they've got water in them. They've got crayfish. They've got fish. They've got minnows. You know.
See, when you talk to Paul or read one of Paul's books, you always learn something. That's the nice thing of having conversations with Paul. Now, the book we were just talking about, how are you coming on that? When do you think that might be available?
Well, for a wordy guy, I keep running out of words when I'm thinking. What'll But the controlling factor for that is that I'm writing a scientific monograph on two genera of anchovies.
I saw that, yes. How did that happen?
I'd written a very big paper on Pacific Island coastal fisheries for these guys. There's several places that put out annual reviews of, you can get the coastal yearbook. This is marine biology and marine biology, oceanography and marine biology and annual review. And I just sent an email to them, said, would you like an in-depth review of the Stellaferid anchovies? And it was, oh, great, yeah, please. So I'm just about finished half of that. You know, I've basically had to go and do a piece on every country in the Indo-Pacific region, which means basically from Tahiti or Easter Island all the way across to South Africa.
That's just fascinating. Fact versus fiction. Yeah, I mean, you literally do it all. I'm going to go back and a couple minutes left in the program. Wedding presents. I interrupted you in talking about the monograph you're writing. How are wedding presents coming? How's the book coming? When would we be able to talk about that?
I would say towards the end of next year.
Ah, okay.
You know, because first of all, I have, the first half of the story pretty much done, but, it still needs work. Still needs work, some serious editing. And then I have to draft another half of the book, which will be set primarily in the rainforests of Burma, where the Golden Triangle is Burma, Laos, Thailand. And through which flows the Mekong River. I'd been doing this initially, and I'd set it on the Irrawaddy River, and then I asked a Burmese lady about it, and she said, "Well, you're in the wrong place entirely. The Irrawaddy doesn't flow through the Golden Triangle." So I had to go back to Google Earth, look at the Mekong and read up on it. Things like, for how many months of the year is it navigable? Really important things, so you've got to take that into account as well. I might be a seat of the pants writer, but I'm a very, very, very diligent researcher.
Well, so impressed with that and the world that you create that is so verifiable, and you read it and it's like you feel like you're there. So you make us feel comfortable in that area that you're talking about. In this case, in the book we're talking about, he might be still on Mars. We're talking about 26th century on Mars. Paul Dalzell is our guest on the program. That's Dalzell. Book available at Amazon, the usual places, wherever books are sold. This has everything that Paul is known for, the great storylines, unique plots, extraordinary characters, classic narration. Paul, I got just a couple minutes left here at the end of the program. You mentioned in the beginning you thought this might be your best book yet. Again, in reading the reviews, boy, everybody just is in love with He Might Still Be on Mars. Why do you feel this might be the best one?
Well, I think first of all, one, in any profession, that you do, you start off and you have a basic skill set. And as you train, your skill set improves. And I think I had a slight advantage, in fact, in the way that I'd written, hundreds and thousands of words for doing my job, fishery monitoring. But also, too, even when we were doing that, we used to criticize each other's work for unnecessary verbiage and things like that.
Yes, yes.
But I had not written a book that was fiction. But like I say, as you progress, I think you sharpen your talents. I like to sort of look at sentences, are the euphonious? Do they sound? Do they? Is they make a nice sound in your head when you read them? And I like to see that the rhythm of the text is moving forward. You know, all of those things I've sort of dealt with over the years, and they've benefited me in this Mars book.
Well, you're on the top of your game. I mean, this book is excellent, again, receiving rave reviews worldwide. The name of the book is He Might Be Still on Mars, one of many by Paul Dalzell. You'll find all of these available at Amazon. We're talking about this one specifically, He Might Be Still on Mars, but others there that are just amazing stories. You'll understand why the books are all receiving excellent reviews. You'll find them again at Amazon. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You get a link on directly to the Amazon page that Paul has and get information on He Might Be Still on Mars, as well as others. Paul, the time always goes by so quickly. It is fascinating to talk with you. Love having you on the program. Look forward to having you back with us. From Hawaii, Paul, our guest on the program today. Paul, thank you so much for being with us. Continued success with all of your writing. Stay in touch, and we'll have you back on the program.
Yes, I mean, this is great, Rick. I really enjoy just this conversational style of interview, rather than me having to respond to sort of specific questions. We just go back and forth, and it's a very nice concept, and you do it very nicely. So I'm profoundly grateful that I get this opportunity to talk about my work.
Well, thank you. It's the best way to find out about somebody and what goes into creating a work of art, as you've done with all of your books. In this case, He Might Be Still on Mars. Paul Dalzell, our guest on the program. Again, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.